Welcome to the Roma Press Podcast with Jun Solano and Andy Mattioli.
Buon anno, everyone. Welcome back to the first episode of 2025 of the Roma Press Podcast. We hope you are doing well. Very quickly, our newest patrons, Descaldes 27 and that boy Sita. Thank you both for your support. If you would like to join for the new year, if your resolution was to increase your level of personal depravity, patreon.com/RomaPress, and then of course at @RomaPress for social media, YouTube version, Twitter, Facebook. You know where to find us by now. And as always, thank you everyone for listening. We hope you had a very safe, enjoyable Christmas, New Year, and what better way, Andy, to kick that off than with an important match for Roma at the weekend, obviously the derby, the transfer market opening. We also have, as expected, the vast amount of rumors when it comes to the transfer market. So we'll start with that. We'll do the stuff for the Derby della Capitale later in the episode. This is going to be a bit of a shorter one. We're both under the weather. Well, I'm under the weather. You are traveling. You're all over the place.
I'm just in Italy. You're everywhere. Meeting relatives. So if you know what meeting relatives in Italy is like, it's quite overwhelming. And as nice as it is, it takes up a lot of. Let's put it that way.
It is very different. That's all I will say. It is an all-day affair. There is no such thing as a quick visit when you go to visit. Now, I don't know where you are, but I know there is definitely...
I just had three different lasagnas being served at the same time. I had one with pesto, I had a regular one, and then one, I think it was with pumpkin. So, and it was just one course, and then there was more stuff later. So... I'm done. You know, it takes up. It's something that cannot be described in words because it's so overwhelming. As nice as it is, it's really. I mean, it requires a lot of mental strength.
Yes, my goodness. See, my Italian relatives just left yesterday, and it felt like the only way I can describe it is a marathon. This is a different,
it's
a different
like
a, way of expressing.
It's like an army going away, you know? It's like the troops leaving the port, you know, setting off into the sea. That's how it feels like, you know, Dunkirk, you know, basically.
Yes,
that's what it feels like. So,
well, again, we hope everyone enjoyed their holiday and a little bit of time off. This was, all of us needed it because of what we've endured this season. So it's only right, though, since we've had rest, that it is pure chaos this week. Let's start with the transfer window, because there are a ton of rumors, things happening very quickly, some surprising ordeals, I would say. And of course, the usual characters at play. Again, I will repeat myself quite often during the summer and the winter. Follow the agent. That should be like the golden rule for what I impose onto people of how you view the market. Follow the agent. And then a lot more of these things sort of start to make sense and fall into place. Do we start with Lafay, who is going to go down as one of the most curious, particular sort of players that has ever passed through AS Roma, which is pretty impressive when you look at some of the random, some of the most high profile yet disappointing cashly call, so to speak, where he comes and he says, I came to Roma because I don't want to be sitting on a beach. Came to play football at a high level. Yeah. And then meanwhile, he's getting cooked by a 72-year-old Iron Robin in the Champions League and against Atalanta. Who are some of your other favorites? Vermaelen is the guy you mention quite often, and he is one that I think people forget quite often.
But what, you know, where do we rank? Because you know, it's with Lefebvre, it's the price tag that everybody talks about, 23.5 million. We had a lot of players for whom we paid that sort of money, but I think we never got rid of them after 6 months. And here, I don't think it's really Roma getting rid of him. It's Roma, I think, satisfying the player who obviously came to play and he's not playing. And he had a bizarre time because you know, he starts against Cagliari, match day one, comes in against Empoli, injures himself, and then is out for over a month, almost a month and a half. With Juric, he gets into the swing of things. He starts repeatedly alongside Manu Koné, and then disappears off the face of the earth. Just when he was, you know, picking up steam, we can say that perhaps he was one of the few successful experiments by Juric. It's Lefebvre, but it was a short-lived one. You know, it's not the same case as with, say, for example, Patrick Schick, right? You spent a lot of money and then you kept him around, and you're sort of here. You spent a lot of money on Lefebvre, but you're letting him go in January, because the idea is, yeah, we cannot afford to have a player who is unhappy. Roma are in too deep of a trouble to be relying upon players who are unhappy. The locker room cannot afford it. Roma must row in the same direction. Like, I think the priority in this window will be to have players who are motivated, who have what it takes to get out of the situation that Roma are in. I don't think someone like Enzo Lefebvre, demotivated, sad, you know, perhaps forgotten by Claudio Ranieri, will be a cheerful presence in the locker room if he gets, you know, 5 minutes against a Europa League side. You know, that's not what someone like him, who signed on for $23.5 million, wants to do. So I think here, in this case, as bizarre as it is, because it was, I mean, it's Gisolfi's first signing alongside Buba Sangare, a lot of money spent. The sorry idea of, you know, him joining a club where he will have his chances, because his time at Rennes didn't go as well as he was hoping for it to go. And he's here now, probably moving to Real Betis soon. Doesn't make much sense. I think it shows a bit of the confusion, a bit of the I mean, it's his departure is a result of Roma's inconsistency. With De Rossi, he starts, then he gets injured. Then with Juric, he starts consistently, he even benches Lorenzo Pellegrini and Brian Cristante. Yes. So, and then with Claudio Ranieri, he never plays. So, you know, that's quite an accurate picture of Roma's season. It's Lefebvre's spell so far is quite accurate in how it reflects the state of turmoil that the club has been in.
Well, and this is one too. It would be one thing, Andy, if this was a relatively cheap operation for Roma. When you include bonus, it's 25 million euros, 5-year contract. So to make the maths very easy, 25 million the fee over 5 years of contract, that means 5 million per season is his amortization, and you've gotten half of a season. So half of five, 2.5. You need to, in order to come out to break even on Enzo Lefebvre, you need to get right now 22.5 million euros, which is not going to happen. There's nobody that is going to come to you with that amount on a permanent deal where there is a guarantee, where you can sort of breathe a sigh of relief and reassure yourselves that you have lost nothing onto this deal to bring him to Roma. And let's not forget, as much as we enjoyed the summer where we saw Roma spend vast amounts of cash, this is still a club that is in the crosshairs of UEFA financial fair play. They cannot afford to take a large minusvalenza on any player. Never mind one that has been here for half a season.
Yeah, exactly. So, that's the tricky part, because in the past, Roma just wrote it out. As I mentioned, Patrick Schick was an experiment that clearly wasn't working from the first 6 months. It was clear as day that it was not going to work out, but Roma just kept it out. Why? Because they had spent so much money on him. They couldn't afford to let him leave. They couldn't afford to lose money over him in that short amount of time. So it was sort of like they were setting their ways of making him work. It didn't. But that was the plan. With Enzo Lefebvre, it's a really bizarre situation. But just again, you know, we are coming off such an intense period where so many things happened. So many ideas were laid out on the pitch. So many things were tried. So many players have failed. So many players have gone through good moments and have gone through terrible spells. And I mean, look at it. Brian Cristante has been out for over a month, man. Yes. This is the first time, I think, in his 7 years at Roma that he's been out so long. I don't recall at any point in time in his career at Roma this kind of absence. Lorenzo Pellegrini, out of the lineup consistently, as if he was some Cengiz Under or something, yeah. You know? Gianluca Mancini's position is also quite unstable, I would say. So really, there is that in of itself, how these players who meant something up until a few weeks ago, a few months ago, the state they're in shows exactly the state of Roma. Enzo Lefebvre's short-lived spell is no exception. It is the perfect encapsulation of how completely mixed Roma's ideas have been for quite some time now.
Yeah, he is the perfect metaphor of this season, frankly. You said it perfectly. Let's go to Pellegrini, because this thing is not dying. I want to make it very clear. His agent is the one who is playing both sides of the fence on this one, yeah? Because here's the thing. Here's what agents love to do, and they do it all the time. They like for their players to be discussed within the media. I mean, I've shared, and it can vouch for this, but there have been times where agents will contact me and say, hey, can you write a story about one of my clients? Can you please publish it for us? And it's pure fantasy, but what they will do is they will get all of these links or something, and if they're trying to get a new contract for their player, they will use that as sort of a point of leverage. It is comical, and you would think it is something from FIFA.
No, but I mean, everybody knows that Fabrizio Romano is an example of that. I mean, everybody reaches out to someone like him because he has a reach. But him just mentioning someone's name, it's just how it works. It's the media, the sports media is so focused on names that the job of agents nowadays, I would say primarily, is to market their players
yes.
through media reports. Those reports can vary from day to day, from hour to hour. We've seen it happen that where an agent says no, and then an hour later, he says yes. And 1 hour, he says, no, he's unhappy. The next time that you talk to him, he says, no, he's happy. You know? And I think that's exactly what's happening with Pellegrini. With Pellegrini,
it is,
right now, we're witnessing both sides of the ball, both sides of the court. One time he's happy. One time he's unhappy. One time he's being linked with Napoli. The other time he's happy to be at Roma and wants to continue to persevere at Roma.
He's focused on the pitch, winning back his starting position. Oh, but by the way, this team wants him, that team wants him, this team, this club, he wants
this, very this interested morning, in acquiring. This morning it said his future depends on the derby because he wants to impress Ranieri so that he can slot into the lineup so that he has his chance to show off in front of the fans. That's something that an agent says, you know?
Yeah.
When a journalist says, so what can you tell me about Pellegrini? The agent will reply, well, he's focused on the derby. He hopes the manager picks him. He hopes to impress the fans. There you go. And a journalist can make an entire story out of those three sentences.
Yes. And his agent particularly is a unique guy. I said, whenever I retire from doing this, I will play the voice notes that he sent to me, Giampiero Pochetta. Very interesting sort of guy. I call him Zoolander. He just has the stereotypical Italian uncle look.
Who spends way too much time at the Adriatic Sea.
Yes.
You know, wearing those short shorts, those really short shorts with the bulge. Yeah. That's exactly. And a faded tattoo on the biceps. Yeah.
Yeah, yes. Oh, man. There are at least a dozen people listening to this who are either the majority of people are going to be clueless as to what we are referencing, but there are at least a dozen Italians who know exactly what you are saying. And in their head, they will all be like,
oh, yeah, that's Uncle Rocco. Oh, that's Uncle Vittorio. Oh, that's, you know.
That's him. So I just want to make it clear because I've talked with him this week. He is doing this sort of half in, half out, both sides of the fence approach with Pellegrini. Where, because frankly, that's what, in fairness to him, that's what you have to do. You have to make it clear to the general public that this guy is still highly regarded. He is still wanted by many big teams, but he's still focused on his club and trying to win back his place within the team. So I understand it to an extent. So I'm not going to beat him up too much more than
I think. I think that what Ranieri is saying about the Pellegrini situation is more telling. As in, Ranieri is not that like you read his words today. He released an interview even when he was speaking to the media on last occasions. You don't feel that he is too certain what Pellegrini wants. He's not certain what Pellegrini feels. I mean, even today he said he's atypical for a Roman because he keeps stuff inside. He doesn't express himself. He's very, you know, he's very quiet. So you don't get much out of him. So I almost as if he was saying, I don't know what he wants. I don't know what he feels. Yes. He's going through something. I don't know what it is. I'm trying to manage him. But at the end of the day, the decision will be up to the player. Roma recently held this open training session for the fans. The fans applauded Pellegrini in a rare instance where they applauded him because so far they've booed him, they whistled him, but almost as if to say, okay, guy, this derby is your last chance to do well. So please, I mean, get it together, at least for the derby. And it really feels like that. I mean, the transfer window opens a week after the derby, on the 13th. That's the official opening day of the January transfer window. I would argue that the derby can be a deal breaker for Pellegrini in the sense that I know what the media, what the fans will think and will do if he doesn't perform well or if he doesn't perform at all. If he's going to sit on the bench against Lazio, you bet your ass his agent is pushing him out of there.
Yeah, I mean, I already feel my phone buzzing with his messages if that were to happen. The interesting thing, though, is he is somebody who is highly regarded. He's still viewed, because this is where it is a bit particular in the approach that they're taking. I would say for the most part, people still view him or consider him to be a high quality player, you know, a difference maker. If you're not paying attention to Roma day in, day out, and you're not fully consumed with this stuff, I think the opinion that you carry of this guy is probably different and probably a lot higher than what you, I, and most Roma supporters have of it. And there is a part of me that says to me, wow, because we're hearing of what? A swap, potential swap for Davide Fratesi, which again, follow the agents, look at who.
That's classic. That's a classic. That's a classic, especially if you see the same newspapers report more or less the same kind of news or report the same names. You know who is friends with who, you know, and you know that at some point in time, those names will pop up. In this case, La Repubblica reporting.
Yes. Now, Beppe Riso, very, 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 very good relations with Roma. That procedure.
He's the one who brought Juric.
Juric, yeah, yes. I'm trying to think of who else he has. He has Paladino.
Cristante, Mancini.
I mean, he has Baldanzi. So he has a very healthy stable of players. And there is a part of me that says, wow, you want to talk of an operation that really does, at least on paper. And again, with the complete forewarning that everybody loves to do these player swap deals when we speak of potential rumors. They almost never happen. So let's kind of keep that in mind while discussing this.
How many times have we heard Frattesi to Roma? Even this past summer, there was
I was about to say, are we counting prior to his arrival at Inter?
No, but not only, especially after his move to Inter, because he's been barely playing for Inter for the past year and a half. So at every chance, there was that thing of, oh, he's regretted his decision not to join Roma. Now he's open to joining Roma. And then when you talk to him or when the media ask him about it, he's never open to Roma. So I don't know, you know, it's funny how this works. It's a world of agents where the agents are slowly becoming way more important than the players. They control the narrative. They make those deals possible. They make the fans dream of a deal that has no place to exist. I mean, a swap deal involving Frattesi and Pellegrini would be so complicated. I mean, Roma couldn't even agree with Milan on Alexis Salzmakers and Tammy Abraham, you know? And what are we doing talking about Frattesi and Pellegrini, who make such incredible wages? And their contract lengths vary to such an incredible degree that, I mean, having any of these two teams who are both dealing with financial fair play, who must both watch out for their financial situation, it's crazy in of itself. But that's how easy it is to make something out of nothing.
Yes. I agree with you in that respect. Now, in terms of the wages, that is going to be, as per usual with any player at Roma, the biggest issue is going to be the wages, because again, Roma paying Pellegrini, I mean, 4.5 million euros net per season. I mean, it's an outrageously high figure. Outrageously high. That is going to be any sort of potential stumbling block to any deal. Speaking purely from a tactical point of view, though, I mean, you would do that tomorrow, yeah? I mean, Frattesi plays mezzala.
I think right now, looking at how Pellegrini performed in the recent match against Milan, and also just what the situation and the feeling is between Roma and him, I would say, dude, go somewhere else, play. I don't even want anybody in exchange.
You're just saying outright.
I'm saying right now, given his position is completely compromised. He's the captain and he's not playing. You know, like, you can't have that happen. It's clear as day that something is not there right now. Perhaps in the future, although I doubt it. Go out and play. Do it for yourself. Really, do it for yourself. Because right now, you're not doing the club a favor and you're not doing yourself any favors. So go and play for yourself. Do what Bove did. You know, he went and played for himself. Go and do what Florenzi did. You know, go and play for yourself. Like, really, just try to experience. I would bet everything that he would thrive anywhere but Rome. It's just... Right now, that's the situation. The situation is too tense for him to succeed at Roma.
It is. And the problem is, too, once you dig yourself this hole, it is so much more difficult for these guys that are Romanisti, born here, captain. You know, when things get difficult like this, they have to do 50% less to earn the good things, the praise, you know? But when it's bad, they have to do, you know, twice as much to sort of get out of that difficult place. And there is a part of me that does feel bad for him, because, again, to think of where we are now with him, just traveling back. Do you remember when there was that situation of his contract when Jose Mourinho on his first season arrived? That was one of the, for the first 3 months he was speaking of this. You remember? He was saying, I want to grab Pellegrini and force him to sign the new deal tomorrow. I would do it. Tomorrow. And you go from that to here, less than 36 months. It's an interesting
not only that, but also just him being there. I mean, him playing such an important role within the club. I mean, he's the one who who goes to the club and asks for an explanation following the Eros's dismissal. He's, you know, he's always there in the defeats, in the humiliations, in Budapest. He's always been there. And really, since taking up the captain's armband from Edin Dzeko, his position was always scrutinized, but not to such a degree where now he's just doesn't have a presence, you know? He just doesn't have anything. Maybe he's a good teammate in the locker room, but right now, you can't have any validity if you're not in the starting lineup. And so many times, whenever he's come on, he just didn't look good enough. So what can the fans do right now? What can they hope to get from you? I would say very little.
Well, and two, it makes it that much worse when you have a horrific Roma, as we've seen this season, and you're still unable to be among the first 11 chosen. It just sort of stings that much worse. Now, you mentioned the derby as a potential chance of redemption, I guess, to some extent. What are you expecting from this? Because if you want to talk about just varying degrees of season, you have a Lazio that has been effective. They have thrived under their new manager. They sell crucial. I mean, think about it too. I mean, losing Felipe Anderson, losing Immobile, haven't really skipped a beat whatsoever. And you see how well and how quickly they've taken to Barone. And it really leaves you shaking your head at times because, you know, Roma, everything they did in the summer, we thought we were doing it.
Because
right.
There was hype. Exactly. We fell into the trap of hype. It's known that it never works. Just as there was hype with Lazio when they got Maurizio Sarri, nobody believed that Maurizio Sarri could be on the Lazio bench. We know how that relationship ended. And in this case, Baroni came into Lazio and everybody made fun of him. There were protests against Lotito in the streets of Rome. Lazio fans were asking for his head because of the decision to appoint Baroni when Coenzao was free. Coenzao, who just now signed with Milan. So they did everything under the radar. They replaced those big names you mentioned with players that nobody rated. Nobody thought much of them. They kept some of the old guard, but not everybody. They, you know, and they've had several injuries. Right now, they go into the derby, and they have a whole list of players who will not be taking part in the match, including Pedro, thank God. But their strength was the fact that they were underdogs. Their strength was the fact that nobody bet on their collective identity. That's what they had from day one. That's what Roma didn't have from day one. Like, where Lazio succeeded, Roma have failed. It's a parallel dynamic, you know, diametrically opposed. Roma have done exactly the opposite of what Lazio have done. Lazio have been succeeding despite injuries, despite the lack of big names, you know, players who were inexperienced, players who came from different realities. Everybody put in a decent shift under Baroni. That cannot be said for Roma with De Rossi in charge, with Juric in charge. Despite the positive feelings that we had in the summer, Roma underwhelmed, whereas Lazio exceeded expectations. They are exactly where they should be. They've deserved to be where they are. And that's... So, as I mentioned briefly in the last episode, this time it will not be about who wants the derby more, because that's usually what it came down to. Who wants it more? Who wants it more? And very, very, very often it was Lazio. They put such a bow on it. They made it such a priority for them that you could tell they were playing with a different kind of heart. This time it's about which team can play as a team, you know? Because going into this derby, a collection of random individuals is not going to make the difference. This is going to come down to who can remain a team, despite the pressure, despite the atmosphere, everything. That's what it will come down to. So far, Lazio have been the far better team than Roma. But as we said many times, Roma have the potential to be better than what they showed. A derby to start the year off, I mean, talk about the ideal opportunity to, yes, to prove doubters wrong, to prove critics wrong.
You put it perfectly there, and we will end it with that, because this upcoming month for Roma, it you hate to say make or break, because really you could, half of the season, half of the months of the season could be labeled make or break. But this result, if positive, could really propel you. And if you look at the stretch of matches coming up, Andy, this is something where you've screwed up the first half. It was undeniably one of the worst first halves to a campaign that you could have ever imagined. It was something we couldn't even foresee in the summer. If you would have told us how it was going to happen,
you're going to have worst start to the season since 1974.
Right. Nobody foresaw that coming. And the sort of odd thing, or I don't know if odd is a correct word, but if you look at the table relative to how bad Roma have been, I mean, they are still, I mean, they're 12 points behind Juve, who are sixth. Now, it's not as if Roma top four, top six. We're not having that conversation yet. Well, I don't think we're allowed to have that conversation.
No, we don't have that. But it's really, what the conversation starts with the simple things, which is such as, yes, can you win consecutively two Serie A games? It's as simple as that. Can you do that?
Yes.
And then you move on from there. The derby in of itself doesn't concern me. What concerns me is the consistency, which was missing, has always been missing, but which we need very badly right now.
They need it terribly badly. But again, this upcoming stretch, it does give them a chance to at least, not completely, but attempt to right some of the wrongs that you had in the first half of the season. You have the derby, you play, you have Europa League. After this one, you have Bologna coming up too. So they're important matches. And again, this is baby steps. We're not speaking top four, top six. We can't even have that conversation yet until Roma are, 6 to 9 points above safety. My goodness. But we will have to see how this one plays out, because previewing this match, I mean, it would be disingenuous for either of us to say, oh yeah, Roma should win. They've shown nothing to give you any sort of positive feeling beyond one performance here and one performance there. As you said, consistency is key. If you win this, you at least give yourself a chance to propel and gain some momentum through this month, and then we see what happens. We will see what happens, but we will come back after the match on Sunday evening. Fingers crossed. Take a deep breath, everybody. 2025, starting off with a bang, as they say. But again, we'll be back in a few days. Until then, ciao.
Ciao.